space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop, there it is. He's got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
If you're out there, you probably noticed that you're in the chat rooms that I had to repost the link because I kind of messed up the link there. Who's killing free energy? Mad Science is live. I got to turn that tornado off in the background there. Even though that cold air feels good because it's kind of warm outside. But anyway, I got several things I want to try to get in today on the Mad Science show. It's just the big question today is who's killing free energy? What the heck is going on out there? So a lot of people are sitting there claiming that climate change is destroying the world, And yet, environmentalists spend a lot of time trying to discourage people from different types of technologies for fear of many things. One of which is they actually believed at one point that by using all this solar power that there would be enough light left over for the sun, sun to give light to the plant. So photosynthesis was going to fail because they were going to suck all the light out of the sun, and then we wouldn't be able to have plants growing. Of course, you know we need plants because that's what we get. But cool. Somebody just messaged me. Sorry about that. We got to have plants, so you can't be sucking all the sunlight out. And so either way, just a mere fact that people were uneducated enough to believe that just by using solar power, we were going to suck all the energy out of the sun and not have no plants around. That's pretty bad. And of course, you know, there were also environmentalists that were concerned about birds, getting chopped up by wind power. So there was another one right there. And so, you know, instead of using common sense and remodifying things or so that you could still use these types of technology, people always want to go out there and start complaining to their government and everything. And you know, before it's all said and done, you got regulation after regulation that are holding back the alternative energy portion of the deal. Now, you can go out there and Google it, but you probably won't find a list of names of different types of alternative energy researchers that have either met a untimely demise or, you know, basically the suicide with the air quotes kind of thing. You know, he shot himself in the back 30 times by accident, that kind of thing right there. And of course, you know, you also have supposed debunkers of the free energy conspiracy, or aka suppression, that will come out there and say, well, you know, if this energy was possible, the power companies would want to do it because it cost them a lot of money to dig the coal out, and it cost them a lot of money for this and that and everything else. And then when the it's also with the doggone nuclear industry, people were afraid of the nuclear power, so you know there was a lot of doom and gloom over that as well. And so instead of prices going down, you know, because the energy was cheaper and easier to make, the newer regulations thrown on everybody made it harder for, you know, people to be able to start selling electricity cheaper. So that almost sounds like I'm advocating for the power company, which I'm not, because I despise the power company. Because if you're really seriously concerned about giving awesome customer service and lowering prices and stuff like that, yeah, there's where there's a will, there's a way, because the technology exists. But nonetheless, those are just a few examples of things that actually look. There's actually a paper out there, The Death of Alternative Energy, Why Renewable Energy Advocates Protect Fossil Fuel Interest. Why would renewable energy advocates like AOC out there, why would they protect fossil fuel interest and not the climate? There's actual information out there that you can look up and says that environmentalists are being killed. And you can find, all kinds of things like that. But go out and try to find a list of all the free energy or alternative energy researchers out there that have come together with devices or come up with devices and tried to share them with the world. You know, like Stan Myers driving a car on water, that kind of deal. And he's not the only one. There were other people out there that were doing similar projects like that, but these never seemed to make it to the front. So, who's doing it? Is it the government? Okay, we always, that's pretty much our go-to. The government is, killing free energy or alternative energy researchers, which I wouldn't say that ain't necessarily the part of the case. I believe there's a whole lot of actors behind the scenes that's actually suppressing, regardless of whether they want to call it suppressing or not. When you're causing an industry like solar panels to be hindered because of regulations, people, number one, couldn't afford to buy the solar panels, and number two, when they did buy the solar panels, there were portions of the lesser governments out there that wanted to regulate, because either they didn't look good, or maybe the homeowners association thought they were ugly and didn't want them in there, whatever, for whatever reason. And when they connected to the grid, and at one point they were actually paying people for excess energy, and now they're not. And so there were government programs that was supposed to be able to assist you to get onto these types of energy. And in California, they got legislation that says that by a certain year, I can't remember, 2020 or something like that, I don't remember, but either way, they want their houses, all their buildings and everything, to be zero-point houses. What's that mean? Well, it means you're not on the power grid. The house is energy independent, and it's supposedly there to save the environment, and it's supposedly there to save the planet, or flat plane, whichever one you believe in. It's crazy. I've been listening to all kinds of videos trying to find answers to the question that I'm asking: who's killing free energy? And from what I can see, there's a whole lot of people killing it, including the average Joe. The average Joe out there who went through a science indoctrination course in their local indoctrination center, aka public schools or even college or whatever, they believe themselves to be so much smarter than anybody else that it's not possible. Oh, it defies the laws of physics. That defies the laws of thermodynamics, blah, blah. And they keep on saying all that kind of stuff. So, if you're on YouTube and trying to share alternative energy, free energy technologies and stuff like that, you not only got to contend with those people, but you also got to contend with the fraudsters that go in there and make fake devices, and they're blatantly, obviously fake. I mean, hiding batteries and stuff, and it doesn't what they're showing you doesn't even make any sense mechanically or electrically. Yet people, they entertain these people, and they get thousands, if not millions, of views, and they're at the top of the search list on YouTube. So when you go to type in free energy on YouTube, you get a whole bunch of fake devices. And if you know what you're looking for, you can scan down there and you can actually find real researchers in the middle of this mess. And so the average Joe, by supporting these people that are fraudsters instead of pointing them out, look, yeah, doggone good and well that's fake. So why are you putting it out there? Instead of supporting the real alternative energy researchers, they support the scam artist guys and gals out there. They support the debunkers. They support the college-educated geek who believes he knows what the laws of physics are and is constantly misquoting the laws of thermodynamics. They support the governments who supposedly have your best interests out there. They support organizations like NASA and the Environmental Protection Agency and so on that aren't necessarily on the people's side when it comes down to doing what's needed to actually... Look, if you think that the world is going to end in 12 years due to climate change, or if you're one of the hardcore people who believe in global warming / climate change, and you're running around trying to either troll or hassle the people who's actually looking into alternative energy research, you're just part of the problem. And the folks that are in the government giving away millions of dollars to United Nations Climate Change Fund, those billions of dollars could have come into actual working prototypes to prove once and for all that there was a cleaner, more renewable way to do and use the energy that we use, that we've become accustomed to. And you know about AC current, you know about DC current, so I got a couple little podcasts about inverters and converters that talk about the differences of it. And, you know, I want to kind of like seem like I'm jumping from here to there, but it's the message that I'm trying to get across is, who is the ones killing free energy? Why is it so doggone hard to share research with people? These people come out there, and the very first thing out of their mouth, well, what's out, what's in? What's in, what's out? What's the current? What's this? What's that? Look, if you don't understand the concept that energy can be changed into a completely different form of energy, then you'll never understand the concept is your standard meter that is designed to read 60 hertz or 50 hertz electricity with current watts and amps. Then you're not going to understand what it is that I'm trying to say to you when I tell you that you can change that energy, you can speed it up, you can move it around, you can do all kinds of stuff with it. Spin it around like a doggone top, you know? And you can use this energy in a completely different, more efficient manner. But these folks that come out there and they do everything to discourage you instead of encourage you, and I want to try to tell you, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I can't run my house on that. Of course you can't run your house on that. It's a different frequency. It's set up differently than 50 hertz or 60 hertz. But the fact is, if energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be changed around, it's the same doggone energy. I just either sped it up or I slowed it down. And it don't matter who you talk to. If they've been educated by the systems, your work is cut out for you, because to try to show somebody a different way than the standard model, they're accustomed to the standard model. And the standard model, unfortunately, folks, is just inefficient as all get out. We're destroying our machinery, we're destroying our electronics, and it keeps the market going, because you got to constantly buy new electric motors, or if you don't have ways by which you can maintain them. A lot of these, like bearings, for example, in the old days they actually had oilers where you could actually get into that bearing and you can oil them. Now they're the sealed bearings and stuff like that. Lead acid batteries, sealed lead acid batteries. They used to be where you could get in there and refresh the electrolyte, you know, flush that battery out and make it last a lot longer. You can't do that anymore. It's a throwaway society. And so with that said, you know, if you want to try to make any advancements in energy storage, you better know what you're doing, because it's just, it's mind-blowing how the industry out there is counterproductive to what they claim that they want. They want you to be energy independent. They want you to reduce your carbon footprint. All right, we got to plug the cow's butt because he might fart and cause the planet to get hot. You know, ridiculousness like that. You know, you're going to drain all the power out of the sun. Ridiculousness like that. It's just between the education system, between the government and their education, because you got to think, all these senators and congressmen, they went through the same indoctrination centers, and in some senses, they were compartmentalized in these really fancy schools, and so they got the flat-out biased view of whoever wanted climate change to be a reality, whoever wanted global warming to be, you know, up there. And the scientists that they supposedly claim and use as a reference, that the majority of the scientists say, no, the majority of the scientists don't say. You can't cherry pick your science guys and call that a poll and say that they have a consensus. We've been told the doggone debate's over. Really? I'm still asking questions. How could the debate be over? You just suddenly decided that all the facts were in, and that's that? Sorry, I had to get a drink of my coffee. But you wonder why I call it mad science. And that's why. This is why I call it mad science. Because the average Joe and the average Jane are killing free energy. The environmentalists are really, seriously killing free energy. The governments of the world are seriously killing free energy. The corporations that supposedly claim that they want clean, renewable, alternative energies are killing free energy. The supposed, what was the other one I had in my mind? There's so many people out there killing free energy, it's ridiculous. Now, if you come across a device that'll get 1,000 miles to the gallon for gasoline, and you put it out there, and the government decides, well, wait a second, that could destroy our economy because we're on the petrodollar, they're going to not want you to put that out there on the market. Now, their status quo is, according to the conspiracy world, is that they first ask you if you want to sell it. And, of course, you know, trying to get a patent, they'll try to do whatever they can to either reject your patent or at least slow it down drastically or give you all kinds of trouble about it. But if you deny the fact that you don't want to buy, you don't want to sell out your device, you want to try to patent it, you want to try to market it, well, then that's when the dirty deeds come in there. Of course, industries, who's doing it? Is it the oil industry bring somebody around to whack you? And could that be what's actually killing off the environmentalists? Is the oil company and the coal industry out there fighting back? The energy industries, are they sending death squads around to kill the environmentalists that are killing the business by causing more regulations and making it more expensive for everybody? Look, we went from a candle to an incandescent bulb to a fluorescent bulb to LEDs, and this is all supposed to be improvement on the system, you know, to basically use less energy. But even the incandescent bulb, the tungsten element inside, there's nothing wrong with that bulb. We can light that bulb up without using the standard amount of energy necessary to do that. You can check, you can raise that frequency level up, and you can light that same bulb up. Even if that element splits in half with a higher frequency, you can leap across that gap and still get that tungsten hot enough to put some light off. So there are different methods in order to use older technologies. You know, and even the candle to some extent could probably still be an older technology worthy looking into. You might be able to get a candle that'll burn for longer periods of time, so whatever. But when it comes down to research and it comes down to what the heck is going on, why aren't we making a drastic move? I was going to, if you're in the TCT chat room, I was going to play one particular podcast that I couldn't delete on there because I'm not a moderator over there, but there's some foul words in there, so I couldn't actually put it on the radio. So I got a couple other ones that are basically related. I'll just play those instead. Anyway, you don't need to be a foul mouth heathen to get your message across. I'm just saying that. But why are renewable advocates protect fossil fuel interests? Well, I guess maybe because the AOCs of the world and the people like that who's supposed to be, you know, environmentalists, a green activist or Greenpeace or any of them, you know, the people behind the scenes that actually give them the money to go out and agitate people, they're in the business. So you go where the money's at, just like the scientists out there who are claiming that climate change is a reality. They're getting paid. And if you're getting paid, you don't want to bite the you know, the wallet of the man who's paying you or the woman who's paying you. You want to try to make them happy. So, you know, that's the deal. That's a fact. who's killing free energy? I'm saying probably at least 70 to 80% of the people on this world right now are killing free energy. This could already be done. We could already have working prototypes. There's so many different devices out there. My friend Stephen Gibbons, who shows up in chat room all the time, is awesome. He put a resource page link. Go look at Stephen's resource page. If you're on the Super chat room, go up there, click on that button that says Stephen's resource page. This man volunteered a lot of time, put a lot of good work and hard effort into going around. He's got a list of alternative energy devices, researchers, videos, links everywhere. Did an amazing job on this. And, you know, it's a really awesome resource. You know, I can't say enough about it. He did an awesome job on there. And I want people to check it out because, you know, I don't want his time going to waste for nothing. But the thing about it is, all this work that we put into alternative energy, you know, we need your help. We need everyone else's help out there to get the truth out there. Because we're up against at least 80% of the population, if not higher. 80% of the population of the entire world is killing free energy. And somebody in that mix is actually physically killing researchers. And somebody on the opposite side of the spectrum is actually killing environmentalists. And so everybody's out there killing each other when, one on one hand, they say we need to find clean, renewable, alternative energy to save the world from doom and gloom, which is aka climate change, climate disruption, or global warming, or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. And these hypocrites, that's the only way you can say it. These hypocrites out there either think themselves to be highly educated to the extent where they will discourage people who don't either use the proper terminology or speak outside of the box of what the book actually says. Anybody can say Polly won a cracker, alright? Anyone can say that. But to talk outside the spectrum of what is supposedly the standard norm, that's heresy. You can't be a scientist and go against science. Now, majority of all the theories out there are just that. They're theories. And that's what our best guess of what we believe is actually going on. We don't even really know what electricity truly is. We know how to get what we call electricity. And we know different things that are caused when you do this. We know the cause and effects. We've tested this and tested that. But we haven't went to the fullest extent of actually fully understanding what electricity really is. So at this point in the game, everything is still theoretical. But yet, if you're going to be a hypocrite and you're going to continue to do whatever it is that you can do to discourage people like myself from finding a solution to what you claim to be as a problem, well, you know what? You're the problem. Let's see. BBS has a need to get to the store. Oh, okay. Have a nice day there, brother. Alright, so look, I've been down this road so many times trying to explain things to the world. There is a better way to use energy. There is no problem in storing any type of energy. We have all the technology necessary to resolve all the so-called problems of this world. But until you can get past the whatever it is that it's like some sort of force field around the so-called educated masses' head that will not allow anything outside the box to come in. They won't even humor any possibility, though they will claim that if we don't do something soon, that the world's going to die. Really? Come on, man. Look, this video that I'm going to play here, this podcast, this was 2013 when this particular representative said this right here. But listen to this.
The evidence is pretty much in on alternative energy across the world. We look at Spain and their implementation of it, and it's created a disaster on high unemployment rates in the country of Spain. Forbes just recently published an article regarding Germany's green energy disaster. They go on to say Germany is dirtying the planet in the name of green energy and sticking its citizens with the ever-escalating tab so it can subsidize an energy source which will never generate sufficient power. This is a cautionary tale of command energy economics one other nations would be wise to heed. So we have evidence of this type of agenda being implemented across the world, and the evidence is not good. I do want to thank Representative Hortman for bringing back a bill that's not quite as damaging as the one that left the House floor in terms of some of these mandates. But ultimately, you know, the underlying philosophy that supports all this is the so-called man-made global warming or climate change theory. And, you know, the fact is, members, there's more and more evidence coming in that it's just a complete United Nations fraud and lie. Okay? The latest facts from CPAC show that in the last 16 years, there's been no global warming. The last 16 years, members. I mentioned this last session, there was a petition by over 30,000 U.S. scientists, 9,000 with PhDs that signed, that basically said there is no convincing scientific evidence that human release of carbon dioxide, methane, or other greenhouse gases is causing or will, in the foreseeable future, cause catastrophic heating of the Earth's atmosphere and a disruption of the climate. Moreover, there is substantial scientific evidence that increases in atmospheric carbon dioxide may produce beneficial effects upon the natural planet and animal environments of the Earth. So, members, I'd recommend that you keep breathing, okay? Because, you know, man-made global warming believes that exhaling causes global warming, all right? I mean, it's, the more you study it, the more utter nonsense you see it is. Finally, members, back in 2010, and this is a New York Post article, if you don't want to believe anything I've said so far, listen to the top scientific and engineering organization in the world. It's called the Inter-Academy Council. They did an audit of, back in 2010 of the IPCC, okay? And here was their conclusion. What does the best evidence tell us? That man-made global warming is a mere hypothesis that has been inflated by both exaggeration and downright malfeasance. That's lies, ladies and gentlemen. Fueled by the awarding of fat grants and salaries to any scientists who will produce the right results. It is a tight clique of like-minded scientists and bureaucrats who give each other jobs, publish each other's papers, and conspire to shut out any point of view that threatens their gravy train. That's the IPCC. That's the conclusion of the top engineering and science organization in the world of their audit of that UN organization. The fact is, members, we're driving up our energy costs. Now, is alternative energy wrong? Not necessarily. How do you know when you're doing it right? When alternative energy brings down the cost of electricity, then you know you're doing it right. Guess what? When the technology's there to bring electricity cost, you're not going to have to pass a government mandate. The private market will bring it to the economy, and we'll see lower energy costs and alternative energy. What government mandates do is simply bring energy production, alternative energy production, to the market in an expensive, inefficient way that creates huge subsidies. The result is the so-called green energy basically enriches the few at the expense of the many and drives up our energy costs, which hurts our citizens, families, and of course, our job creators. Finally, it's the example that I've repeated quite a bit. Every time government gets involved in the private sector, you can expect two results. The price of everything goes up, and it becomes very inefficient and wasteful. So members, I rise in support of refusing to adopt this. Let's send it back. Let's do what's right and go in a direction that actually helps our families and businesses and gives us a clean environment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members.
So, what he was talking about basically what I just got to talking about as far as who's killing the doggone free energy, the alternative energy. It's the same people out there who supposedly care, you know? The same exact people. There are so many different technologies available out there that if people understood that we take these energies that are already available, we can use a combination of these and we can learn from each one of them. There are so many different devices that people have put together. Before I play the deal about the inverters, I'm going to play this right here. Listen in on this right here. But there's different technologies that people are working on that use solar panels differently, more efficiently. And it isn't that we don't have what we need to resolve it. It's just that people somehow or another got to get on the right page. These folks out there who think themselves to be so educated that they are running around hindering the process, or the folks out there that are discouraging alternative energy researchers even to the extent of death. You know, okay, you're a conspiracy nut for saying that, Shaziz, but what happened to Stan Myers, John Bedini, his brother, and bunch of other researchers that we've mentioned here many, many times? I challenge you, go out there and find a list of all the alternative energies that died of mysterious circumstances. If you can find it, I'll be amazed, because I looked and looked high and low, because I wanted a list of names. You know, all the way back to Tesla. You know, Tesla, you know, he didn't get the credit for what he did. He did a lot of good things. And even Google is Google and YouTube both are basically the same entity, because Google bought YouTube, but nonetheless, actively suppressing any information that doesn't go by the standard norm. And even if it's just to the extent of putting a little banner up there about climate change underneath a video that just happens to mention climate change and doesn't have the same narrative as the standard settled science. It's not settled science, it's a lie. But nonetheless, for a company like Google to actively go out there and put what they deem to be the truth underneath a video of a different opinion, then that's some creepy stuff. So Google's killing free energy, YouTube's killing free energy, all these different places out there, social media platforms, and the people on them are killing free energy. The ones who actually sit there and talk about it. You know, when you talk about free energy, the very first thing from that terminology that people come, oh, nothing's free, it costs you to make this, it costs you to make that. Give me a break, man. I'll tell you, sometimes I think I want to be a foul-mouthed heathen. I'd probably get more attention by doing that. I'd probably get a lot more people listening by doing that. By getting out there being controversial and just being foul-mouthed and cursing everybody under the sun, telling them how stupid they are. But I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to deliver the information that they claim that they needed. I'm trying to hand the solution to the world, but they're not taking it. They're not listening. They're too distracted out there fighting over ridiculous stuff and actually fighting to support a lie. Environmentalists actually out there supporting the people that they claim that they don't like. The fossil fuel industry. Look, first off, fossil fuel is a doggone lie. There ain't no such thing as fossil fuel, and there never was any such thing as fossil fuel. But never mind the science. They want to call it fossil fuel? Let them call it fossil fuel. Alright, you're running around with dinosaur in your gas tank. If that makes you happy, Mom said you got to humor those kind of people. Well, if that makes you happy, then call it dinosaur fuel. I don't care. But don't be a hypocrite. Don't sit there and talk about we got to save the planet while you're driving your SUV with your dinosaur fuel. It's ridiculous. So, let me play this right here.
Tomatoes presents Solar Power.
Rain or shine, future solar panels may be able to generate power. Scientists in China are producing solar panels that can produce energy from the last source you'd expect when we're talking about solar energy, rainwater. In a typical solar panel, photons from a light source knock electrons free from atoms within the panel, and the action generates a flow of electricity. Although solar power technology has been getting increasingly efficient, there's still the tiny problem that solar cells can't produce any power when it's raining. Researchers are introducing a new type of solar panel by adding a layer of graphene or carbon atoms arranged in a honeycomb structure to dye-sensitized solar cells. A flexible layer of indium tin oxide and plastic is included underneath. Graphene has unusual properties that allow electrons to move freely throughout the entire layer. Rainwater contains positively charged ions like ammonium, calcium, and sodium. When water binds to the panel's surface, a double layer of positive ions and negatively charged electrons is created, which ends up producing a voltage and current. Tests of the new solar panels have been able to produce hundreds of microvolts, which is small even compared to a standard AA battery. So there's a long way to go before the new solar panels become more widely used, but more efficient future versions could mean big things for the solar industry.
Let me pause that just for a second. We have, because of the type of chemistry that's actually in rainwater, you know, some folks like to call it acid rain, we have the technology to literally build rain batteries so that when it rains down on these two particular materials, that it will actually produce electricity. I mean, I've proven it in my video, Free Thinkers. I got a video series, Free Thinkers, and can't even talk straight. But either way, that thing has been running ever since the first video. And it still has the lights on. And it uses all different types of energy to do what it does. One of which would be that when the rain comes down, it causes a chemical reaction between a couple different metals in the dirt that would have normally just been maybe a galvanic action, but now actually has a chemistry to it, so there's an electrolyte between that down in that dirt that is actually helping to ramp that power up. So anyway, let's move right along. We could build a rain battery. That wouldn't be no problem at all.
China powers on world's largest floating solar farm. China just flipped the on switch on their latest green energy project. A new floating solar farm, constructed on a lake in Huainan City in central China, is said to be the largest in the world. It is made up of 160,000 solar panels. These panels can produce electricity for up to 15,000 homes. The farm is connected to a city where some 2.5 million people reside. The panels are placed at varying depths over the lake. The water helps cool the electronics in the devices and stops them from overheating. Solar energy, like wind, is sporadic and environmentally dependent, meaning the amount of power panels can gather may sometimes fluctuate depending on the weather. Tesla gets into the home energy game. Tesla has unveiled a solar roof product that doesn't distract from the aesthetics of a home, as they look just like ordinary tiles. Each Tesla roof tile is made up of a solar cell, quartz glass, and a color louver film. that makes it appear opaque from an angle. Tesla CEO Elon Musk said the tiles have 98% of the efficiency of traditional solar panels. However, the tiles have the potential to go above normal efficiency if improved coatings can trap light inside to reduce loss of energy. Tesla sees the solar roofs working in tandem with its Powerwall battery unit to provide energy for homes and its electric vehicles. Tesla unveiled four types of solar tile during a launch event at the Desperate Housewives set at Universal Studios last Friday. The tiles will be available next year through SolarCity, a solar installation company chaired by Elon Musk, which he's trying to merge with Tesla. Musk didn't reveal any specific prices, but said the Tesla panels would cost less than the full cost of a roof, with the added benefit of being able to generate electricity. Dragonflies can be used to spy on you. Scientists have created a technology that can turn flying insects into surveillance drones. The technology makes use of a tiny backpack, equipped with solar power and navigation systems. The backpack is fitted onto a dragonfly and commands the insect with optogenetics, a biological technique that uses light to control the steering neurons inside the insect's nerve cord. Dragonflies can then be turned into tiny surveillance systems. The same setup can be applied to other insects of a similar size, such as honeybees. Other applications of this technology may include guided pollination, payload delivery, and precision medicine and diagnostics. The Great American Eclipse will cause massive energy loss. The eclipse is just around the corner, and while many are excited, the astronomical event will also lead to a gigantic dip in solar energy production. The Great American Eclipse may cause a loss in solar energy production enough to power some 7 million homes. According to U.S. government data, California provides 40% of the solar energy in the U.S. The state will see its solar power generation capacity reduced by 70% between 9:02 a.m. and 11:54 a.m. local time on the day of the eclipse. To fill the power gap during this time, solar-reliant grids may turn to natural gas or hydro plants for energy. The eclipse is set to take place on August 21, 2017 in the U.S.
France planning to pave roads with solar panels. The French government is set to go ahead with energy plans to pave 1,000 kilometers of its country's roads with solar panels. France's energy minister, Ségolène Royal, made the announcement last month, saying she expects tests to begin as soon as this spring. The panels are made by Colas, a subsidiary of French industrial giant Bouygues, and took 5 years to develop. These 7mm thick Wattway solar panels contain photovoltaic cells, which collect solar energy through a thin layer of polycrystalline silicon. The panels will be glued to existing road surfaces and can withstand the passage of heavy goods vehicles. The manufacturers say road surfaces are occupied by vehicles only around 10% of the time, so the panels will get plenty of exposure to the sun. The panels can provide electricity for street lights, street furniture, road signs, and buildings. The manufacturers say 4 meters of solarized road can power one household, and 1 kilometer can produce enough electricity for a town of 5,000 people. If it reaches its maximum potential, the plan could provide electricity for 5 million people, or about 8% of France's population. The cost of the project is unknown, but the French government has suggested it could pay for it by raising taxes on petrol. Last year, the world's first road to convert sunlight into electricity opened on a 100-meter stretch of carriageway in the Netherlands.
So, I don't know if you caught that, but they said they can pay for it by raising taxes on petrol. So, if you're going to use the fossil fuel, it's going to cost you more to pay for this solar panel road. I tell you, man, these folks out there, they sure know how to shoot themselves in the foot, man. Because people that are driving around in gasoline, or what they call petrol vehicles or whatever, majority of the people who are driving vehicles these days are running off of either diesel or gasoline, petrol, whatever. All right, so that's the majority of all the vehicles out there. And plus you have hybrid electrics that still will have to have some fossil fuels. You know how I feel about fossil fuels. We've already been down this road. But anyway, so the industry itself out there, the governments out there, I don't know what's going on with these people. And I don't know what's going on with the average Joe. I don't know what's going on with the doggone environmentalist. But to punish one section of the society in order to supposedly solve a problem that isn't a problem is ridiculous to me. Now, would it be cool to put solar panels all in the roads and every surface like that? Yeah, you could also put thermoelectrics in there. That would be cool. And you heard the number of houses that it could actually, charge up after it was all said and done. But going out there telling people you're going to charge them extra taxes isn't going to get support, that's for sure. Nobody can afford gasoline or petrol how it is right now. I mean, the average household that has to go to work, two separate directions, in some cases, the people might be working more jobs, so they might be doing more driving, plus taking, transportation in consideration for taking kid back and forth to school or, wherever else you're going to go to the grocery store and all that kind of stuff. It costs you a lot of money just to survive. It costs you a lot of money just to have electricity in your house. So free energy, if you're setting the house up to be completely zero-point energy independent, is a possibility. But even at that, it's going to cost you a lot of money. And the cost always comes back down to the consumer. Always. Always comes down to consumer. All these different grants that they give different scientists out there that believe in global warming and climate change and climate disruption, they probably don't even believe in it. They probably know it's a fraud. But in order to keep their funding, they're going to say whatever's needed to be said in order to ensure that the doggone money keeps coming in. It's plain and simple. And the debunkers out there that say, well, if these alternative energies work, the power companies would use them so they could save money. No, they don't want to save no doggone money. Seriously, you think that they ain't got buddies in the oil industry? You think that they ain't got buddies in the coal industry? Matter of fact, in some instances, they probably own both of those industries. So why would you shoot yourself in the foot? Not buy your own product, and have somebody else pay for it, or the government to supplement it. It's just like my brain starts to spin the deeper you look down the rabbit hole to find out who is killing free energy, the more you find out the same people who are shouting the loudest are the ones who's killing free energy. The same people who basically are apologists for the system are killing free energy. The same people who are apologists for the scientific community that is spreading the lie is killing free energy. We've got every single doggone thing necessary to build incredibly efficient devices using multiple technologies. When I talked about the Free Thinkers video, what I was hoping the most to get out of that series was that people start to realize that it's not just one of these things that can be implemented into any given device. If you have a solar-powered battery charger, that makes sense. Because now you could set that thing out in the sunlight, charge your battery up when you're not using it, or maybe in some cases, if the power is good enough, you can use it right there on demand and still have the battery charged up. And to supplement that, you could build different things like hydroelectrics, thermoelectrics, wind power to constantly add something to the system. And as far as radio waves, same thing. Static electricity, same thing. So you use all these technologies in conjunction with one another. Now you have a system that is sustained regardless of what the weather's doing. regardless of what's going on outside, it's constantly putting some energy into that storage bank for later use. And then when you take and move that a step further when you're withdrawing from that bank, you're pulling energy out of it. If you do that in the most efficient manner, then you're not only going to save your devices, but you're going to save the amount of energy necessary to run those devices. See, we don't understand. I understand, but the average person doesn't understand that the way that we're using energy is actually destroying the same devices that we're trying to use. Because you're pushing too much power. Those devices don't need near the amount of power that we're using in order to do the same exact job. Anytime two different magnetic fields come in contact with each other, depending on what their polarity is, opposites attract and likes repel. So you know that if they're anywhere in the general vicinity, they're going to have an instantaneous reaction trying to right that wrong, which is going on there. They're either going to attract or they're going to push away. And these are things that we've learned over the time of how we make our generators and stuff like that, electric motors. But you don't have to have a magnetic field that expands way beyond the transformer. You just need that energy in that transformer. You're not going to get any more current by overpowering that transformer. You're only going to be able to get what you get inside there. These electric motors, they only need so much power to run. They don't need anything over that. Anything over that is inefficiency, and it's represented in the form of heat. When you're pushing too much power to something, it gets hot. Then one of the video podcasts that I was listening to was talking about the difference between a square wave and a sine wave, and that square waves and sine waves, you have to know the difference between the two, because if you're running sensitive devices like computers, you obviously don't want a really powerful square wave that is not a steady signal going into that device, because you'll have sudden surges of power and so on down the line. But if you understand the physics of what's actually going on, even that square wave can do the exact job as the sine wave. All you have to do is how to slow it down, how to filter it, how to steady it out. With the capacitor technology, we've already got that resolved. It's just taking the time to do a little bit of math and understanding how these devices work to begin with. And you can get that same energy to do the same exact job, even junk electricity, which is some crazy frequency, maybe in a gigahertz range or megahertz or whatever. You can slow that down. You can store it. You can move the energy faster at higher voltages because it doesn't meet the resistance that current would actually meet. If you're trying to push too much current down the pipe, well, something's got to give. Something's going to back up. And so if you've got power coming from your wall outlet to your electric fan, and the electric fan can't use that entire amount of power, then that means it rejects some of that power, and it bounces back and forth between your fan and your wall outlet, causing to get the wire in the fan hot, the core in the fan hot. It causes the wiring to get hot, causes your wall outlet to get hot. That's the reason why on the breaker switches, they're all thermally reactive, so that if it gets too hot, it will actually trip the switch because it's drawing too much power, or there's too much power going to the system. The fan can't use that much power. So if you do the actual math and you get it down to exactly what it is that fan needs to run at its maximum potential, without all the excess energy constantly bombarding it, then that fan's going to last. And your wiring's not going to get hot. So it's how we're using the energy that makes the difference of whether or not anything's going to get hot, regardless of whether it's a square wave or a sine wave. So with that said, let's move on here.
A new way of getting power from the sun. Researchers in Britain have developed a new type of technology that can help buildings to harvest solar power in addition to the power generated by rooftop solar panels. Solar squared glass blocks contain a layer of small solar cells. The intelligent optics of the blocks focus incoming sunlight onto the solar cells when placed vertically. The blocks can be linked and wired to one another, generating power for buildings and electric vehicles, or to be stored in batteries. These blocks can be embedded in conventional construction designs. Tinting can also be added to prevent too much sunlight from entering the building's interior. Researchers say the blocks also offer better thermal insulation than traditional glass building materials. Startup company Build Solar, which developed...
All right, now, I don't know if you caught that there, but they're talking about the way that these glass blocks are designed will actually help to insulate your building. Like if you've got triple pane glass or whatever like that, well, that air in between there actually makes that more efficiently. It makes it more efficient because you're not having to fight against whether it be hot or cold that you're trying to change from one to the next inside there. So that's what I mean about using technologies in conjunction with each other. That with a triple pane glass and the newer technology for solar, you could have that triple pane glass doing a multitask. You can still see in and out of it, and it's generating power, putting it into the bank at the same exact time. And let's just keep moving, and you'll hear some more of these.
Develop this project is looking for test sites for this technology. A finished product is expected to be available next year.
Dutch University aims to use solar panels as highway noise barriers. Eindhoven University of Technology is developing solar panels that could be used to accomplish goals beyond electricity generation, such as acting as noise barriers along highways. A practical test is being run along the Netherlands A2 highway, one of the nation's busiest, near the city of Den Bosch. Sound barriers with incorporated LSCs, or luminescent solar concentrators, can absorb sunlight by using transparent diplastic sheets which then emit and direct concentrated radiation along solar cells hidden inside the frames. The LSCs can come in a variety of colors, making highways more visually appealing. The current test features only two noise barriers, which measure 4.5 meters high by 5 meters wide. A single kilometer of barriers could generate enough electricity to power 50 households. The two sets of panels will stay alongside the A2 highway until early summer of 2016, as a full year of testing is crucial in order to verify the durability and performance of the panels under all weather conditions.
Quantum dot coding can turn windows into solar panels. Researchers at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico have developed a film of quantum dots that can turn windows into photovoltaic systems. When sunlight hits conventional silicon solar panels, electrons break free of the top layer of semiconducting material. The electrons then follow conductors between the positive and negative sides of the panel to generate an electrical current. Quantum dots, which have an inner core, an outer shell, and a silica coat, can be used as semiconductors. Quantum dots can be spread into thin sheets that are placed onto glass window panes. When photons from sunlight hit a quantum dot, it excites the electron in the valence band and sends it into the conduction band, leaving a hole behind. When the electron recombines with the hole in the valence band, a new photon with lower energy is generated. This new photon then propagates within the glass via internal reflections. Energy is generated when the propagating photons reach the window's frame where solar cells are stored. Coatings of quantum dots can be used on any window to turn them into harvesters of sunlight at lower cost than is currently available. Los Alamos-based startup Ubiquitous Quantum Dots has received a $225,000 grant from the National Science Foundation to commercialize this technology as a coating on windows. New solar sunglasses harvest solar power. Researchers in Germany have successfully developed a pair of sunglasses that can generate power. The sunglasses contain organic solar cells, which are flexible and can be made into a variety of shapes and colors. The frames are also equipped with electronics, including a microprocessor, two sensors, and two displays. The solar power captured by the lenses are used to run the electronics, which measure current illumination intensity and ambient temperatures that are displayed on bar graphs. The lenses can generate about 200 milliwatts of excess power, which is enough to run devices such as a step counter, hearing aid, or a small speaker. The solar sunglasses work best in direct sunlight, but they can also work in dimmer lighting environments, such as inside homes or at the office. The researchers say the technology could be applied to the glass facades of high-rise buildings. Such a large surface area would enable the new solar cells to generate significantly more power. North Carolina town fears solar farm will suck up all the sun's energy. A North Carolina town has rejected a proposal to allow a solar farm to be constructed after residents expressed fears the panels would suck away sunlight from the town. Solar companies are looking to the town of Woodland because it's located near an electrical substation, where power generated from panels could be fed into the grid. During the public comment period before the rezoning vote was held, town residents voiced their distrust and fear of solar panels. June Mann, a retired Northampton science teacher, is worried that vegetation near the proposed solar panels won't get enough light for photosynthesis. Mann also said she was worried about the high number of cancer deaths in the area, saying no one could tell her that solar panels didn't cause cancer. Bobby Mann said the solar farms would suck up all the energy from the sun and businesses would not come to Woodland. The solar company then attempted to address the council and audience, but that didn't go so well. The council voted 3-1 against the rezoning, and later voted for a moratorium on future solar farms. Endless energy with one coat of paint. Researchers from the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology have invented a novel new paint that can turn surfaces into a hydrogen power generator. Synthetic molybdenum sulfide is a newly developed compound that absorbs moisture and accelerates the splitting of water molecules. When mixed with titanium oxide in paint, the resulting substance is able to produce hydrogen energy from sunlight and water vapor. Hydrogen is one of the cleanest sources of energy and can be used to power vehicles and equipment. The solar paint can generate hydrogen energy in remote locations or hot and dry climates, so long as there is sunlight and moisture in the air. Researchers believe it will take at least 5 years to come up with the final product, but they're confident that it will be cheap and accessible. Say no to safe spaces on YouTube. Support Tomo News at patreon.com/tomonews. The world certainly needs more clean and green sources. Solar window blinds can block and harvest sunlight. A California startup has designed window blinds with solar panels that can block out sunlight while harvesting solar energy from it. Each slat in solar window blinds is equipped with monocrystalline solar panels, which can harvest solar energy. The blinds can also track the path of the sun's position and automatically change the angle of the slats to optimize its absorption of sunlight. The company claims the blinds are able to generate up to 100 watt-hours of energy for every square meter when mounted on the outside of a window, or half that amount when mounted inside. Although the slats can automatically change their angles, the blinds can also be manually controlled via an app. The company is hoping to raise $50,000 from Kickstarter in order to mass produce the solar window blinds. This South African airport is powered by the sun. South Africa gets a lot of sun, so much so that the country is investing in solar-powered airports and already has one that's fully operational. George Airport in southern South Africa last year became powered entirely by solar energy. According to AFP, this move lowered its carbon dioxide emissions by more than 1,000 tons. The hub runs on energy garnered by some 2,000 solar panels. These power everything from the ATMs and restaurants to the check-in desk and airport control tower. Excess energy is transferred to nearby homes on a local power grid. South Africa is already working on two other solar-powered airports elsewhere in the country. The airport is Africa's first to run on solar energy alone, and one of only two in the world.
Alright, so you heard multiple different examples. Those doesn't even scratch the surface of everything that... everything that we have available in order to resolve this so-called climate change craziness. I got a couple videos I want to play here about inverters and converters, so it gives you a little bit of a difference. So I'm going to play this one right here first.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. I'm Pippi Peterson. So when I got my RV, I didn't understand anything about my electrical system, converters versus inverters, AC, DC. But after a lot of DIY work and research, it makes a lot more sense. So I want to help you understand it in a really simple way, all the things that you need to know about how they go together and the different things that they do. So RV electrical systems are usually run off of DC power, so that means like direct current. And houses traditionally are run off of AC, which is alternating current. So in an RV, you've got like all of your lights and some pre-installed appliances like TVs. And if you look at the appliances, you'll notice they've got plugs that look like this, almost like something that you'd plug into your cigarette lighter. Now, if you look at most of your regular appliances like phone charger or, you know, electric tea kettle, blender, anything that you usually would plug into a house, you've got a plug that looks something like this, at least in the US. So this is an AC plug. Most houses and anything connected to a municipal power source is going to be AC, like if you park at somebody's house or at a campground. So when you plug your cord, your shore cord, into power, you're accessing AC power. However, your RV needs DC power. So that is the job of a converter. It takes the AC power coming in from your shore source and converts it to DC to run all of your pre-installed DC appliances in your RV, like lights and all the appliances that usually come with it. Most RVs will come standard with a converter. And the converter is usually called a converter charger. And so its other job is to charge your house batteries. When you are not plugged in to an AC power source like a municipal shore power, then you are running off of your batteries. And since your batteries produce DC power, you're not actually using your converter when you're essentially off-grid. If you are running off of your batteries and you only have a converter, you can't use any AC powered appliances. You can only use appliances that have a DC power cord like this. So if you're out traveling around and you stop for a little bit and your RV only has a converter, you can't use anything that plugs into this. You can only use appliances that plug into this. You can't use AC power to run a DC appliance, and you can't use DC power to run an AC appliance. So, how do you run AC power when you're running off of your batteries? Either you can turn on your generator, which will create AC power, and the generator's run by gasoline. That will also give you AC power as well as DC power. Or you can use an inverter. You can either get a big inverter that's going to power your whole RV electrical system, or you can keep your converter and get a small inverter that just plugs into a cigarette lighter in your RV and then run off that. However, that will only give you like one AC receptacle. So you can plug in like one thing at a time. And, you know, if the cord's not long enough, then you can't like bring it to the kitchen or whatever. You know, it's got to be wherever your DC receptacle is. What an inverter does is it takes the DC power from your batteries and converts it to AC so that you can still use your AC powered appliances, your receptacles in your RV, plus you can also use your DC power. And the inverters will also charge your house batteries just like converters will. There are two types of inverters. There's pure sine wave and then there's modified sine wave. The modified sine wave inverters aren't really ideal for full-time RV residents because they can interrupt some charges like on electric toothbrushes. Definitely it can affect some medical equipment if you need that, and also some larger appliances. But they're cheaper and they're great for the weekend warriors. The pure sine wave inverters offer an uninterrupted stream of power and are a must for full-time residents like me. Also, if you're interested in getting solar on your RV, you're definitely going to need an inverter. Converters will only work with AC as their power source, and solar power is providing DC power. By the way, I used to have a converter in my RV. It was the original install, and I've now got an inverter. And the converter, the first like couple weeks I was living in my RV, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it, because I'd go to bed, it'd be quiet, and I would just hear a like this buzz. It would drive me nuts. Finally, I got used to it. But later I learned that some RV technicians in the field, they actually call those converters buzz boxes. Luckily, I got my inverter. It's not installed in the RV. It's underneath the RV in one of the bins. My converter was below my dinette, so I just was constantly hearing this buzz. So anyway, keep that in mind about converters. By the way, I have worn my Pink Floyd shirt in one other video, and I got a lot of comments on it. Yes, I'm a big fan. I have all of their albums. My favorite album is Metal, from 1971, many years before I was born. I think David Gilmour is looking very, very dapper in the center fold-out. Anyway, I thought it was appropriate because we were talking about inverter, converter machines, and I kind of think that the machine from Wish You Were Here maybe looks like my converter. Okay, well, maybe not too much. Anyway, thank you so much for watching. Once again, I'm Pippi Peterson. Stay tuned for more upcoming solar videos. A solar on your RV. The next video is going to be on batteries. Then I've got one on how to determine how much electricity you need to build your solar system or your PV system. And then I've got a full build from scratch of a solar panel, as well as a full installation on my RV of other solar panels. So stay tuned for that. You can connect with me on my RV Living forum and other RVers at pippinings.com, where you can also get your Keep It Simple bumper sticker. You can connect with me as well on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you so much. Till next time, keep it simple.
All right, so I just wanted to play that because when it comes down to what I've been talking about changing energy from one farm to the next, there's differences in different types of inverter systems that change DC current into AC current. And so you got to have a little bit of knowledge on what's the difference between the two so you don't destroy your appliances. And the converter, which converts it in the opposite direction from AC to DC, you got inverters and you got converters. Converters bring the AC to DC so that you can charge batteries up, stuff like that. And the inverter is basically one that goes in the opposite direction. But there are differences in the different types of inverters. So if you're going to be doing solar or wind or any of the others, you kind of need to have a little bit of that knowledge so that you can, you know, make sure you don't destroy your stuff. So that's one of the reasons why I want to bring that up. Free energy suppression conspiracy theory, according to Wikipedia. If you go read Wikipedia, I really despise Wikipedia because of their bias. And, you know, basically, when you muddy up the water and you start talking about, you know, conspiracy theories, you know, air quotes, you're also saying things like aliens and alien technology and stuff like that. Well, those folks that don't believe in UFOs or anything like that, they're going to not want to, they're going to look at free energy differently. And so perpetual motion, which is another terminology that, you know, basically, you get a self-contained system that loops around and runs itself. That's another terminology used quite frequently to try to debunk the whole free energy concept altogether. So you got zero-point energy, which is getting something out of nothing or whatever. You're putting nothing in and you're getting zero-point. Now, if you're not doing nothing more than putting sunlight to a solar panel, and you're not doing anything, that would be basically zero point energy, because you're not putting anything into it. The sun is putting it into it. But that's not the way the terminology reads. if you take that same exact system, you add wind power to it, now you got a secondary system that is also putting power to it, and then you don't just stop there, maybe use some hydroelectrics where you got a generator, in a running stream that's also constantly turning, then you're adding a third system to it. And if you're picking up radio waves or static electricity, anything that you're doing to put into that system is adding a backup for a backup, so that no matter what's going on at all times, there's some form of energy coming into that deal. And we can take this energy, regardless of the frequency range that it is, you know, or even the low powered, as long as it's voltage, it's pressure, and as long as there's a empty space in that capacitor bank, the higher pressure is always going to win out, and it will charge those capacitor banks. With modern day capacitor technology, you have access to capacitors that work more like batteries. But organizations like Wikipedia that I despise, you know, and even NASA for that matter, all these, getting the mainstream media, the moment you hear anything about conspiracy theory, that kind of diminishes the whole free energy word to begin with. Oh, there ain't no such thing as free energy. You can't get something for nothing. There's always losses in the system. Well, if you're not using those losses as a plus, then yeah, it's a loss. But if you're like, for example, you're using an internal combustion engine, which has been proven to be at maximum 20-30% efficient. The rest of that 60 or so amount of energy that you put into it, the majority of the fuel you put into your internal combustion engine goes out the exhaust. And with modern day technology, some of those gases can be recuperated and reused back into the system. But for the most part, you're losing a lot of energy just in fuel alone. Not to mention the fact that the amount of heat that it generates is also wasted energy that you've got to use more energy to try to get rid of, because that will destroy itself. But if you take these, the free energy or free thinkers video series that I did, and you think about it logically, there are methods by which you can recoup that heat energy, and instead of trying to throw it away, and you can actually guide the energy to where you want it to go. Like, for example, the only place you need heat in the internal combustion engine is in the combustion chamber. So why are we building engines, whether they be aluminum blocks or even metal blocks, that are transferring that heat energy from the combustion chamber directly to the engine block itself? It's all wasted energy. Well, the moment you realize what I just said there, and you re-engineer that internal combustion engine properly, then you'll find that you don't need near the amount of heat, or you don't need near the amount of fuel to run that. Because when you're putting heat in that cylinder, and you keep that cylinder at a certain temperature, there's a thermal breakdown for everything. And if that thing is at its sweet spot, where you got the perfect amount of heat for your burn, and you don't even necessarily need heat, you need oxygen, you need a fuel source, and you need an ignition source. That heat could be used as an ignition source. So between the compression and the temperature, you get compression ignition, basically the way that diesel engines run. And so, by understanding the physics of it, re-engineering that engine, you should be able to run that engine 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and still be able to come up there and put your hand on that engine and not even be warm to the touch. Because the only place that you need that heat is inside that chamber, inside that cylinder. That's it. You focus the heat where you want it to be, and so that decreases the wasted energy, because now it doesn't take near as much energy to keep that heat maintained inside that cylinder. And then once you understand the thermal breakdown of every other material that is involved with that cylinder, then you can ensure that you never exceed the thermal breakdown, which means that that engine will never fail. So we have the capability to quite literally design perfectly engineered, perfect efficient motors that will get the maximum amount of energy usage out of whatever types of fuel that we engineer that for. And that is including an engine that runs on pure distilled water. There's no additives to the water. It's just using the basic water molecule and the physics that are involved in it. You understand that there's hydrogen, there's oxygen, and you understand that between the separation of those two, you know, the water molecule being the most stable molecule doesn't like to be separated. And when you do separate it, you get a secondary reaction, such as a release of an electrical charge, which is an ignition source. So with that said, and then that, and the fact that whenever you boil water into steam, its expansion rate is multitudes times more than the actual volume of the water you just expanded, because you just pressurized that chamber like that. If you go look at hydrogen cells using the electrolysis process, you got to have these things sealed up pretty good, and you got to have a place for the pressure to go, otherwise they'll sit there and they'll overpressurize and they'll blow that cell apart. And that's just from the pressure, that's not from any ignition. So with that said, that by using the electrolysis and separating it, you can build up a massive amount of pressure and be able to pressurize storage tanks for, if you want to separate the hydrogen and oxygen, and understand, one of the parts of the water molecule goes up the negative and the other one goes up the positive. All those physics are there. But when it comes down to free energy suppression, you know, Wikipedia is another one of the people that are killing free energy. Another one of the platforms, so to speak, that are killing free energy. Because of the way that they use these words, makes it look like, you know, when you talk about perpetual motion, building a perpetual motion machine, you know, something that's going to run under its own power, well, and they start talking about all the losses in the system, well, that's going to mean that you're not going to be able to build a perpetual motion, because physics says it's not possible, and part of which is what they misquote about the laws of thermodynamics and such. But either way, throwing aliens into the mix, some examples of individuals who are allegedly suppressed, harassed, or killed for their research, Thomas Henry Morey, Stanley Myers, Eugene Malov. I mean, don't even think I ever heard of him. But either way, Stan Myers is a prime example. He was driving around in the 70s in a dune buggy that was using hydrogen technology and using it differently than the conventional electrolysis process. He started off with electrolysis, but by the time he got his water injectors sorted out using radio waves to literally crack the hydrogen and oxygen on demand, he had something that was really simple to modify any of the existing machines already. So there is a suppression of alternative energy. I don't care what all these different people try to say. It's just crazy. If you understand basic science and basic physics, and you can get your head out of the sand and think about it. You know, free energy Mythbusters. Mythbusters is probably one of the. That's the one that gets on my nerves the most, because just their little deal on hydrogen. That's what made it where I won't even watch the Mythbusters anymore, because they're supposedly scientists and, you know, doing things you know, to prove or disprove things. And in the process, they did one about free energy and basically tried to say that that's the reason why we don't use hydrogen technology. When anybody with any kind of knowledge of hydrogen technology understands that you don't put hydrogen into the carburation system the way that they did, because you're going to cause an implosion. There's a thing called flashback. If you ain't got a flashback arrestor, then that fire can actually follow the line, the fuel line, back down to the source and cause an explosion or an implosion. You get an explosion from the oxygen and implosion from the hydrogen. Doesn't matter. But either way, that's the kind of things that you're having to deal with. And there's information, tons of information, you know, about suppressed inventions and who's doing it. Why? You know, why would industry not want people to know anything? Why would you want to have somebody make a cure for the common cold if you're trying to sell cold medicine? There's a lot of greed involved, but there's also a lot of stupidity involved as well. And the stupidity comes from a lot of times the average Joe, who basically believe the person in the lab coat is the most important and the most smart people, or the teacher couldn't be wrong. Why would they teach this in school if there was you know, something better? Well, that's the whole thing. There is something better. And when you teach lies to kids in school, you get people that grow up believing and ridiculousness like climate change, and so they think that man is destroying the planet. All right, well, I could go on and on forever how ridiculous that is. But nonetheless, I know that we have cause and effect. We do affect certain things, and the way that, you know, people use that as a fear tactic in order to get people to basically comply to their way of thinking. AOC's Green New Deal. My God, go look into it. I don't even want to waste my breath talking about it. It's so ridiculous. But the fact that the mainstream media entertains it, the governments of the world entertain it, majority of the average Joe entertain it, the so-called environmentalists entertain it, because of all these people that either do not want to do their own research, and because of all the ridicule and the hypocrisy and the shady dealings that go on with people who invent things, and the dangers, inherent dangers of all of it, you can understand why it is that some energy researchers just finally throw their hands up and say, to heck with it, I'm not going to do this anymore. Why save the planet? The planet is working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I know the truth, and, you know, whatever. There are places that completely banned the incandescent bulb. In replace of the incandescent bulb, they put CFLs, basically fluorescent lighting, compact fluorescent lighting. If you've ever used these CFLs, and you paid attention to them, depending on what frequency range you're at, 50 or 60 hertz, you'll notice that there's something going on with these bulbs. There's some sort of off-gassing, because after you run these bulbs for a while, the circuitry inside there, you'll start to notice that there's a black film that builds up on the outside of the casing of those compact fluorescent lamps. And not to mention the fact that inside that glass, there's a phosphorescent coating, but there's also a little tiny bit of mercury involved in there. Of course, you know about mercury dangers. You've heard all about it. But, so you took one that was a clean burner that might have, if you use it the wrong way, might have used a little bit more power, and reduced it for one that may use slightly less power but have potential health effects in the long term, because if you look at that black stuff that's on the outside of those bulbs, you have to question how your air in your rooms would be. The next one in line would be the modern day LED systems. It's not the same type of lighting, and some people don't like LED lighting. It's kind of, you know, gives them a headache or whatever. Supposedly more efficient, use less energy because of the way that they actually function. But taking all these things in consideration, and how much research may or may not have been done in each one of them, the best bulb out there, as far as I'm concerned, and mad science, is the old style bulb, like the Edison bulb or whatever, the element. I just said the word earlier and I can't even remember. The conventional light bulb, as far as I'm concerned, probably by far the safest one to use. And if you use it properly, you can use that's what would have otherwise been waste heat as, you know, energy. For example, a long time ago they made a easy bake oven. You can actually bake a cake with a light bulb. That's the power source inside there. It's got, you know, a little 110 light bulb in there. I don't know how many watts they usually put in those things. Probably anywhere from 60 to 100 watt bulb. But that bulb right there, because of the way that the tungsten is heated up with current, it it puts off a lot of heat. And so if you're in a room with several 100 watt light bulbs, you probably have a really high electric bill, but it's probably nice and warm in there because of that extra heat. So there's a trade-off with every single one. The incandescent light bulbs, the compact fluorescent light bulbs, or the LED light bulbs. Those are your preferences there. Those are your choices so far. There's other methods, but you know, I won't even get into that right now. Compact fluorescent light bulbs, I'm slightly concerned about, because whenever you look at those things, you'll notice that there's a material on the external portion of this light bulb. It seems to be like this thing is off-gassing something. And if that bulb is black like that on the outside, then it's probably not really healthy for your air. And if for some reason that these things break on the floor, now you got some stray mercury vapors, or tiny little bead of mercury floating around somewhere in your house. Which, you know, unless you know exactly where it is, you might pick it up one day in the wrong fashion. The LEDs, I don't see a whole lot of things at this point about. Yeah, they are cheaper to use. And I think that if, done properly, they'll last for many, many, many years. But those are just examples of technology, all the way from the candle all the way up to the LED. Everything that I've talked about here today comes down to, you know, research. It took a lot of people researching a lot of stuff. A lot of these things come out of, government agencies such as Los Alamos, you know, lab and stuff like that. And these folks, they had the funding to do the research. The average garage science guy doesn't have that type of funding. But if you take and you support those people, you can get the technologies, you can get them worked out, and you can get them into the hands of the population. Otherwise, big companies and government organizations, they basically keep back for themselves something that's going to give them the edge. And you get what you get when you get it. So we got the world that we live in because we actually support that world that we live in. We could be coming together and researching all these technologies everything that we've been talking about all this time, we could research all these technologies and we can build actual working prototypes together. But left in the hands of the so-called representation, their track record stinks. So is it a conspiracy? Well, you be the doggone judge. Is it a conspiracy? Who's killing free energy? Well, I just laid out an example of who's killing free energy, and there's a whole lot more people involved in killing it than there is involved in proving it. And at this point in the game, I wouldn't even be opposed to somebody disproving it as long as it was pure logical facts that had been tested and tested and tested ad nauseum, and there was no way to prove that you could get 100% free energy. Well, in my book, I don't care if it's only 50% free energy. If 50% of the time you got energy that you're not paying for from the sun, the wind, the water, or any other place, then to me that's free energy. And if you use that particular version, any of these particular versions, in conjunction with another one, then that means you have a backup plan for a backup plan. And that's what my Free Thinkers video series was hoping to get a dialogue open up with the subscribers that I had, and anybody who stumbled onto it, that they would understand what it is that I was trying to point out. That thing has been out there for many, many years. It's got grass growing up around it. You can see in the original video, I'll probably try to make another update video because I'll probably take the thing down. I'm tired of looking at it. It's been weathered, but it's still working. Even when some of the systems finally, you know, weathered to the extent where they broke down, the light's still on. And it's been on all this time. And had people recognized the concept of what I was pointing out to them, then that means that all the Elon Musk and all the different people that are supposedly into alternative green energy, if they factor in all the possibilities of ways that you can use whatever otherwise would have been classified as an inefficiency or waste or whatever, to guide that somewhere where you need it. China figured out by putting the solar panels in the water that they could make them more efficient because they don't get it nearly as hot. But even to that extent, you take that heat energy that you extract from, because the hot always wants to go to the cold, you take that heat energy, you extract it, and now you have thermal energy as well. So you combine multiple technologies into one device to ensure that no matter what's going on, you always got some sort of current flow. You always got some sort of power that is coming to you. And by understanding that you can speed that energy up or slow it down, it don't take very much power in order to run a transistor or a MOSFET. We got little tiny transistors that can switch on and switch off. So you could take what power you do have in there, make micro transistors that will turn that power on and off and send that energy to a coil system that would in turn produce a magnetic wave that would induce the current into that deal, and you can ramp that voltage up. So even if it's only in the microvolts, we still have the technology to ramp microvolts up. If you've got a few microvolts and you could ramp it up to 1 volt, that's still more power. It's not that we don't have the power that we need, it's that we don't understand how to allow that power to move freely, for one, to move in the most efficient manner for the other, and be able to store it and understand, you know, how to use that in a more efficient manner. Fashion. So we got inverter technology and converter technology, and that's the reason why I wanted to finally get to inverter and converter technology. Because once you understand what's actually going on in an inverter, forget all the high-tech terminology like sine wave and square wave and propagation and all that craziness. Forget all that. Just think about what is actually occurring. You're turning the light switch on, you turn it off, flipping it on, off and on, off and on, off and on. And so by doing that, you take the energy from the battery and you speed it up. And that energy then in turn speeds up the frequency. It's the difference between 60 hertz capability of, they said that in one of the podcasts said that you can't get 60 hertz mechanically, which is a lie. You can get 60 hertz mechanically. You just have to understand that the electric motor that you're turning and the configuration of the magnets that you've got on your rotor have to be mathematically precise to give you that 60 hertz, 120 times per cycle it pulses or something like that. And so if you got a rotor that is specifically designed the right size and you got your magnets in the right configuration, you can get 60 hertz on there with the same exact generator by running that generator really super slow. And if you want to ramp that voltage up, if you want to ramp that frequency up, all you got to do is turn up the power and run that thing at 50,000 RPMs, and you'll ramp that voltage way the heck through the ceiling. Which means that you're not dealing with current anymore, you're dealing with voltage, and voltage is easier to move around than lots of current. So your things aren't getting hot, you're sending voltage, because voltage will go, it's pressurized, it's moving rapidly, and you can charge capacitors faster with high voltage than you can with current, because the resistance of the much current you're trying to shove into that thing, it's not allowing you to get it in there fast. So by understanding about the differences between high current and high voltage, then you understand that how I'm trying to explain to people, by if you know what the capacitor is designed to do, smoothing out a sine wave or a square wave, those capacitors can be designed and perfectly tuned to accept any wave. I took a DDS signal generator and I took basically a 5 volt output from a 120 volt wall outlet. I got a little adapter that plugs into the back of the DDS signal generator. So it's actually starting off with 120 volts AC, but it don't need 120 volts AC. It could use 5 volts DC to do the same exact thing. So it can be improved upon. But either way, took that 5 volts and ramped it, run it through the signal generator, ran it at 60 hertz, ramped it up to 9 volts output, and then ran it in through a microwave oven transformer and ramped the voltage up from the initial input to a higher voltage, well over 100 volts or more. And took that 100 volts and then ran it through a AC start capacitor, which normally rejects current flow but will accept the voltage at whatever its rated higher level is, because the dielectric between the plates will break down at certain voltages. Well, if you understand you're not exceeding those voltages, it will still do the same job by smoothing that AC wave out. And then you can run that AC wave at higher voltages through the doggone bridge rectifier, which doesn't need current. You put voltage in there, you get DC voltage out. You put AC voltage in one side, you get DC voltage out the other side, because it's rectified through the system. And the key about this entire deal is nothing gets hot in the entire system, all the way out till when you finally using the power. And when it's all said and done, when you start to switch back over to the conventional, you'll see that the only temperature wasted heat is in the conventional system, trying to run it like you do now. So I can take the power, which would not be able to run an electric motor, store that power, bring it around, run it through circuitry, And because I'm pushing so much power to that circuit, it does the same thing. It's pushing too much power, it gets hot. And if you understand that, and you run that thing at a different frequency range, that, which would have been a 30-amp motor controller, won't ever get hot. That electric motor doesn't need the amount of current that we're shoving to it, is what I've been trying to say all along. So there is a more efficient way in order to do the same exact job that doesn't cause it to get hot. So therefore, it becomes more efficient and things will last a lot longer. So I'm going to play this other podcast here that has to do with inverters, because if you've bared with me this long and you listen in, you might hear something in this podcast that will give you a better understanding of the difference between a square wave inverter, a sine wave inverter, pure sine wave. Those are all terminologies. And even the word propagation, if you try to wrap your mind around the high-tech terminology that's used in the way that they try to educate people, you understand why most people aren't electric engineers. If you understand how water works, if you're a plumber and you don't understand electricity, by visualizing in your mind how that plumbing does its job, electricity and plumbing, electrical circuits and plumbing, the actual equipment that lets the current, the water flow through, they work the same way. Well, once you understand that, when the pressure opens the gate, it allows flow through. So if you're a plumber, you should be able to understand how electricity works. At least what it is that we call electricity from the physics and the observations that we've made. You should be able to understand that. So I'm going to go ahead and play this one right here. And listen in, and hopefully you'll pick something out of there that'll make sense to you.
Hey there guys, Paul here from theengineeringmindset.com. In this video, we're going to be looking at inverters, their uses, and how they work. Coming up, we'll first of all look at the difference between alternating and direct current. Then we'll look at the purpose of inverters and where they are used. Then we'll move on and have a look at a simple example of how they work. And finally, we'll look at a more advanced pulse width modulation example. Guys, I just want to take a quick moment to thank Danfoss, our sponsor for today's video. If you find inverters interesting, then you'll definitely want to check out the Danfoss Optima Plus Inverter Condensing Unit. The Optima Plus Inverter leverages stepless technology to increase efficiency and meet F-gas and eco design requirements. And it's a great fit for applications in convenience stores, restaurants, etc. You can find out more about this great product at optimaplusinverter.danfoss.com. So what is an inverter? Well, let's start with the basics first of all. So you probably know that there are two types of electrical power in use, which are direct current, or DC for short, which is applied by batteries and solar panels, etc. Now this type of power is mainly used by small digital goods with circuit boards, etc. The other type of power is alternating current, or AC. Now this is supplied from the power sockets in your homes, and this will typically be used to power larger appliances. Both of these types of power have their uses and limitations, so we'll often need to convert between the two to maximize their use. An inverter is a device which is used to convert between direct current DC and alternating current AC. If you use an oscilloscope to look at the signal of these two types of power, you will see that direct current sits at its maximum voltage and continues in a straight line. That's because its current flows directly in only one direction, which is why it's called direct current. Think of it a bit like a river or a canal. It's always at its peak and it flows in just one direction. If you looked at alternating current, you'll see a wave-like pattern where the voltage alternates between its two peak voltages in both the positive half and then through to the negative half of its cycle. This is because the current travels back and forth. It's a bit like the tide of the ocean, where it reaches its maximum high tide and then transitions through to its maximum low tide. And in between, the current of the seawater will flow and change direction. So an inverter simply converts from direct current DC to alternating current AC, and this is a very useful invention. You can also convert from AC to DC using a rectifier, and it's common to find both of these in some devices. And we'll actually look at this in just a moment also. If you want to learn more on how electricity works, start from the basics with our previous video on how electricity works. There's a link on screen now, and there's also a link in the video description below. So where are inverters used? Well, a common and fairly simple application of inverters is within solar panels or photovoltaic arrays, as these generate DC power, but the appliances in your home will use AC power, so this needs to be converted for it to be of any use. You can also buy portable inverters for your car, which allow you to use the car's battery to power small household appliances. A slightly more complex way they are used is when integrated into variable frequency drives or variable speed drives to control the speed, the torque, and the direction of AC motors in order to achieve very precise control, which saves energy. You'll find these on fans, pumps, and compressors, and basically any equipment which rotates. They are used in all industries, but extensively within HVAC systems for industrial and commercial properties. In this application, the inverter is coupled with a rectifier, and the AC power which comes in is converted to DC and then back to AC, but the controllers will change the frequency of the sine wave pattern. And by manipulating this, we can precisely control how the motor behaves. And when you join this to a fan or a compressor, etc., then you can precisely control how that performs also. This is partly how the Danfoss Optima Plus inverter condensing unit works. It has a very clever control loop which is measuring the cooling load and then changes the speed of the motor, which changes the speed of the scroll compressor, and that increases or decreases the cooling capacity to match the load, which results in precise temperature control as well as energy savings. So, how do they work? Well, let's consider a simplified circuit where the DC source is being used to power an AC load, represented by the lamp. To convert the DC to AC, we will use four switches. We will pair the switches together so that switches 2 and 3 open when 1 and 4 close, and vice versa. This will allow us to force the current through the AC load in an alternating direction so that the lamp will experience an alternating current even though it's from a DC source. So let's give that a try. If we leave switches 2 and 3 closed and then open switches 1 and 4, this will cause the current to flow through the right hand side of the lamp. If we then close switches 1 and 4 and open switches 2 and 3, this will force the current to flow through the left hand side of the lamp. So you can see that there is a direct current source, but the lamp experiences an alternating current. The lamp will not see this as a sine wave, however, as the sudden switching will only result in a square wave. The sharp corners of the square wave can be damaging to electrical equipment, so we need a way to smooth the corners out. The switching is also far too fast for a human to do. If you consider the electricity you receive in the power sockets of your home, this will be supplied at 50 or 60 Hz, depending on where in the world you are. This means that the current needs to reverse direction 50 or 60 times per second. So to achieve this, we'll use some special electronic components such as diodes, IGBTs, MOSFETs, etc. Now, if you don't know how these components work, don't worry about that for now. We'll cover this in another video specifically for that. For now, just understand the circuits and how the current is controlled. Let's look at a three-phase example for a motor. You can see this circuit has a DC source and an AC load, and to convert the direct current into alternating current, there are a bunch of these IGBTs which are connected to a controller. The controller will send a signal to each IGBT telling it when to open and close. These IGBTs are paired together. So when the circuit is powered up, you can see that the controller is switching pairs of IGBTs to allow current to pass through them for a set amount of time so that the motor will experience an alternating current.
I'm going to pause this just for a second. These motor controllers in the modern RC remote control airplanes and cars and boats and stuff that they got, these motors are pretty incredible as far as efficiency goes. And we still haven't got to the point where we can run these things indefinitely the way that they're actually being run. But if you look into how it used to be as opposed to how it is now by the way that they use pulse DC to run these outrunner or in-runner motors, the efficiency is getting a whole lot better. I mean, look at the drone technology that is able to not only get this thing up in the air with quadcopters with quad motors on there, multiple motors, but even have enough technology available on board that if the battery starts to run low, this thing will actually return back to you. It'll come back. It'll even land itself at some point. So you don't even got to worry about losing the doggone thing anymore. That's a pretty impressive technology. And the battery technology keeps getting better. The capacitor technology keeps getting better. And storage capabilities are getting better. In general, that's it. But the fact is, we've got all the technology necessary. It's just about putting the pieces of the puzzle in the right doggone order. You know, when it comes down to alternative energy researchers, those out there that have a pretty much an unlimited budget, they get all the cool toys. The ones down at the bottom that are really, talented researchers, not so much. Everything that I've got, that I do, most of which has been recycled. A few people have actually, believed in the work that I was doing enough to invest a little bit into actually helping support my research, because they understand what it is I'm trying to do. But you can see the difference of what the mainstream scientists and researchers, their research and development teams, have the resources that they should by now already be able to surpass everything that I've been talking about. They should right now be able to come out with really ridiculously efficient electronics, machines, and everything. So my question once again is, who's killing free energy? Why is it that with everything that I've said here and explained time and time again about what we have available to us, the solutions that are readily on the table, and we still can't get past this whole thing? The people that claim to want to try to fight climate change and save the planet are the best supporters of the fossil fuel industry and the best supporters of the system as it stands. They're also the best supporters of the media that tell the lies to begin with. So the hypocrisy, this is why, as far as environmentalists go, they've lost all respect with me. I don't respect them. If they ain't putting their money where their mouth is, if instead of being out there protesting somebody who obviously isn't going to care nor is going to do anything to remedy the situation that they claim, well, then they're wasting their energy. They're wasting their time. And they are hindering the process of alternative energy research to the extent where we're still having to talk about the same thing over and over again because we can't get no results done. Yeah, government wants to throw $50 million or $50 billion down the toilet, to the United Nations. Then why don't they throw $50 million or $50 billion my way, and I'll give them working prototypes. 30 days time with the right crew, and if I can pay somebody to just build something and not give me a bunch of lip about why it is they don't think it'll work. I don't want them to re-engineer it. I don't even want to hear them say anything about it. All I want them to do is build it to my specifications and let the device speak for itself when it's done. But if you try to go out there and try to convince somebody that this is possible, if they want to take and invest their time and energy and machinery into proving it, they want no part of it. They don't want no part of it. Even if they might be passing up the best thing that ever existed, far as, if you're running all this machinery and you're paying a high electric bill, and I'm telling you, if we build this one generator, that you could turn this generator into a plus for your company just by investing a little bit of time and energy into doing this, and you won't have to pay an electric bill anymore. But 99.9% of all the companies out there don't care. They're making money. They're charging ridiculous prices, and they're being charged ridiculous prices. And they say they want to become energy efficient. They want to reduce their carbon footprint. You show them how to do it, and they won't. They won't entertain the idea. So it's like the people inside the Matrix are the ones that fight hardest against the people trying to get them out of the Matrix. So when that movie came out and that guy said that, you're going to see that these people are going to fight with everything they got to keep things the way they are. They don't want change. They don't want out of it. And I'm starting to believe that the environmentalists are on the same team as all the people out there that they're claiming to protest against. Because you think somebody with the notoriety of this AOC lady that's out there in Congress making a fool out of herself, you think that that lady right there would take the time to sit down and hear me out and then translate that into English over to the Congress or the Senate and say, look, we got solutions available. This guy's telling us exactly how you can do this and make it work. But are they listening? No. They're too busy out there playing the game. They're too busy out there doing the same exact thing over and over and over again. And they just don't care. Making a complete clown show out of what is supposed to be representation. And they're not doing anything. They're not getting nothing done. How long have we been talking about this? How long have they been complaining about global warming and climate change? I'm 53 years old, getting ready to go to 54. I've been hearing it since I was 9 years old. Do the math. They're not going to do anything to remedy the problem that they claim we got outside of putting more regulations onto the average Joe and companies. They're not going to do anything. They're going to take away more rights and more freedom with their own shenanigans. And it's going to cost you more and more every single year for your energy needs. From your automobile to your heating and cooling at home. It's going to cost you more every year. It's going to constantly rise up. When we were told back when the nuclear power industry came into play that energy prices would get cheaper because of the way that these things work. And then the environmentalists came out and started telling everybody, oh, we're going to blow up. It's going to be Hiroshima and Nagasaki all over the place. You hear about Fukushima. You hear about Chernobyl. You hear about Three Mile Island. You hear about all this kind of stuff. And when Galen Windsor came out and did his video, Nuclear Scare Scam, it got ridiculous. There were people coming out trying to debunk Galen Windsor. He was the head of the nuclear regulation industry. He was the head of the safety department. Just listen to what he said. But regardless, if nuclear industry is dangerous too, there are still a better way. And even all that doggone supposed radioactive waste, it's free energy sitting around in storage facilities doing nothing. Even when it isn't good enough to boil water fast enough to run steam turbines, it's still depleting and it's still releasing energy in the form of heat. If you understand that, you can monopolize in that. And you can direct that energy away from it and allow that thing to deplete naturally while using the thermal energy available for it for thousands of years, according to what they said. You know, look at the half-life of what they say these things have. What's the temperature of them? Why do they put them in cooling ponds for 10 years to cool them down? And why ain't everybody who's involved in nuclear industry dropping dead? There's a lot of lies being told. there's a lot of science being fraudulently, indoctrinating our kids at school. Whether it be college education or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's all the same doggone thing. When you got people out there who claim that they're wanting to save the planet and they're doing all the mocking and the ridiculing and the trolling and everything like that, and you got people out there who are talking about save the trees while standing there with a wooden stick and a paper sign, and you got people that's in Senate and Congress spreading the lie and basically trying to force we the people into everything as long as we're paying for it. Well, I'm asking you, and I'm pleading with you out there. If common sense is in your mind, and what I'm trying to say to you is right, or at least get you to the point where you want to look into it, you know, we can work together. We don't need the governments. We don't need the corporations. We don't need the representation of people who have had a terrible track record. Everything that needs to be known right now to have a free energy device, a real working free energy device. And let's not even call it free energy device. Let's just call it an incredibly efficient generating system that gets the best bang for your buck. Simple as that. And if it only takes a quart of water to run this thing for hours on end, then I would have to say that that's pretty doggone efficient, and we can always find water because the earth is 3/4 covered in water. So it's a no-brainer. You know, let's finish out this how inverters work here.
In this example, the alternating current is in three phases. So this is used to power the motor, but how is it used to control the speed? Well, if we take a closer look at the IGBTs, we'll see that they actually open and close in a pulsating manner multiple times per cycle. This is known as pulse width modulation. What's happening is the cycle has been broken up into multiple smaller segments, and the controller tells the IGBTs how long to close for during each segment. I've shown how this works in just one cycle for one phase of the three-phase circuit, just to keep it as simple as possible. By opening and closing the switches at varying lengths of time during each segment of each cycle, the IGBTs can allow varying amounts of current to flow through the circuit and into the motor. The result of this is that the average power over each segment will result in a sine wave pattern. The more segments the cycle is broken into, the smoother the sine wave will be, and the closer it will mimic a real AC sine wave. So the motor will see the average value and will therefore experience a sine wave alternating current. The controller can then change the amount of time the IGBTs are open to increase or decrease the frequency and the wavelength to control the motor's speed, torque, and direction. And with a few additional control loops, it can be used to exactly match the required loading to provide precise control of the system and unlock energy savings. Okay, that's it for today. Before I go, I just want to thank Danfoss one last time for sponsoring this video. Don't forget to check out their Optima Plus inverters by heading over to optimaplusinverter.danfoss.com. Thanks for watching. I hope this has helped you and you've learned from it. If you have, then please like, subscribe, and share. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as our website, theengineeringmindset.com. Once again, thanks for watching.
Cool. Also, while I'm playing these podcasts out here, folks, I want to let you know, I let them play all the way through because I want these folks that are actually making these videos to get credit for their work. And so maybe you'll go over and check out their channels. I post these links into the Super Chat room. So if you want to check out any links to any of these videos that I play. And also, you know, if you want to take time, go over to my YouTube channel and look at my liked videos. There's a lot of videos related to all these different shows we've done about free energy, alternative energy, and so on. That are related to it, so you could actually go back and find, you know, just about every single video that was related to one of the shows that we've done. But anyway, what I'm trying to get at and where I'm getting is It's crazy. Who's killing free energy? There's a whole wide spectrum of ways that we're not getting what we need done. I'm going to turn on this tornado in the background because it's getting hot outside. So, that's what you're hearing in the background. But I got to cool it down a little bit in here. These computers are wasting energy and it's in the form of heat. See, now if I was smarter, I could actually build all these computers into, you know, a plexiglass case with a ventilation system that would push this heat to where I wanted to go. I could actually recuperate some of the wasted heat energy off of this deal. I'm getting some crazy messages inside the chat room over there. Never mind. Alright, so how are we going to resolve this? Well, that's a good question. The only common sense resolution that I can see is that researchers and people come together and they back each other up. But you're not seeing it as often as you should. I see a whole lot of alternative energy researchers that I don't see anymore. And they just basically gave up. Between YouTube demonetizing all their videos, between all the trolls, and between all the foul-mouthed heathen comments and cracks made at people trying to share information, they finally just got tired of it and said to heck with it. So why would you want to come out there, put your neck on the line in multiple different ways if you're not going to get any support in the long term? We get attacked from all different directions because we're classified as alternative media. So we got the not secure tag from Google because we ain't paid the extortion money for their little sticker that they want to put on there to say whether we're secure or not. And even if our website is from a secure server, and something on our website, like maybe the chat room from Chat Tango, doesn't have that sticker as well, well, that inadvertently kills our safe zone sticker. It's ridiculous. You know? And so these are what we're up against. This is why it's so hard to get it out. I've had people tell me all the time, well, why don't you just release everything you've got and just put it out there for people? And I'm like, I've been trying to do it all along, but ain't nobody taking the ideas and running with it. And why should I put everything I got? Why should I put all my cards on the table when ain't nobody run with nothing that I've put out there so far? I got a lot of views on my redneck wind turbine, and I probably would have took the redneck wind turbine a lot further than I did, but with all the craziness in the comments, I just said, you know, what's the point? You know, if people can't see past the simple and think to what the potential would be, then there's no hope. I mean, sure, I could rebuild that thing. I still got the doggone thing. I could rebuild it, and I could put the improvements that I've made on rotors on there, and I can get that thing to produce energy even at really low wind speeds. But what's the point? Call it Redneck Wind Turbine Update, get some more video views on there, and have YouTube basically screw me over again? You know, I've been down that road. So I don't know what the answer as far as how to get people to stop doing what it is that they're doing. You know, we put a forum together. We put chat rooms together where people can come in here and share information. And it's up to them to utilize it. And when it comes down to sharing information, I mean, for Pete's sake, man, get on there and take a look around. Get on Shaziz Radio and take a look around. in the Mad Science podcast page, you can start scrolling down that page. There's video after video after video going all the way back, or podcast after podcast going all the way back to 2013. 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. And then we ran out of space as far as storage on there and had to go to shaziz.net to start in the next one. And so you go over there to shaziz.net and click on that page, on the podcast page, which is under the more section. Depending on if you got a big screen, it might already pop up, but nonetheless, we got podcast after podcast after podcast, and more on the way. So, by sharing the information out there and all the podcasts, you can actually go back and you can see what I've been saying all the way back to 2013 or maybe prior, depending on which radio network you listen to. And I've been saving all these podcasts onto flash drives and such, so that there's a backup for it. So all the hours and hours and hours and hours of research have basically been compiled into this platform and other platforms out there where it's readily available. And it would take you probably just as many years to listen to all of it, because there's a lot of information. If you've been here all along, you know that I've stayed consistent. I'm going to play this one here, but it has a lot more high-tech terminology. But this has to do with inverters.
Inverters have taken a prominent role in the modern technological world due to the sudden rise of electric cars and renewable energy technologies. Inverters convert DC power to AC power. They are also used in uninterruptible power supplies, control of electrical machines, and active power filtering. This video will explain how to get a pure sinusoidal electric power output from DC power input in a step-by-step, logical manner. An alternating current periodically reverses its direction. For this reason, the average value of an alternating current over a cycle will be zero. Before proceeding to sine wave production, let's see how a square wave alternating current is produced. In fact, the old type inverters used to produce simple square wave as their output. Let's build an interesting circuit as shown, with four switches and one input voltage. This circuit is known as full bridge inverter. The output is drawn between points A and B. To make this circuit analysis easier, let's replace this actual load with a hypothetical load. Just note the current flow when switches S1 and S4 are on and S2 and S3 are off. Now, just do the reverse and observe the current flow. It is clear that the current flow is the opposite in this case, as is the output voltage across the load. This is the basic technique that produces a square wave alternating current. We all know that the frequency of the AC supply available in our homes is 60 Hz. This means that we need to turn the switch on and off 120 times in a second, which is not possible, whether manually or by using mechanical switches. We introduce semiconductor switches, such as MOSFET, for this purpose. They can turn on and turn off thousands of times per second. With the help of control signals, we can turn transistors on or off very easily. The square wave output is a high approximation of sine wave output. Old inverters used to produce them. That's why you hear a humming noise when you run your electric fan or other appliances using square wave power. They also heat up electric equipment. Modern inverters produce pure sinusoidal output. Let's see how they achieve it. A technique called pulse width modulation is used for this purpose. The logic of pulse width modulation is simple. Generate the DC voltage in the form of pulses of different widths. In regions where you need higher amplitudes, it will generate pulses of larger width. The pulses for the sine wave look like this. Now, here is the tricky part. What will happen if you average these pulses in a small time interval? You will be surprised to see that the shape of the averaged pulses looks very similar to the sine curve. The finer the pulse is used, the better shape the sine curve will be. Now, the real question is, how to make these pulses, and how do we average them in a practical way? Let's see how they are implemented in an actual inverter. Two comparators are used for this purpose. Comparators compare a sine wave with triangular waves. One comparator uses a normal sine wave, and the other comparator uses an inverted sine wave. The first comparator controls S1 and S2 switches, and the second comparator controls S3 and S4. S1 and S2 switches determine voltage level at point A, and the other two switches determine voltage level at point B. You can see that the one branch of comparator output is fitted with a logic NOT gate. This will make sure that when S1 is on, S2 will be off, and vice versa. This also means that we can never turn on S1 and S2 at the same time, which will cause the DC circuit to short circuit. Turning S1 gives cell voltage at point A, and turning on S2 gives zero voltage at the same point. Same is the case for point B.
What he's saying in the whole simplicity of the deal is basically you got flip-flop switch flipping these things back and forth at really high speeds, and it's allowing the DC current to come through producing an AC wave or a pulse DC wave. It doesn't matter. All of what the high-tech terminology used in all this different deal, pulse width modulation, square wave, sinusoidal wave, whatever. Alright? It makes it so hard for the average Joe to try to understand what's going on. All you're doing is you're moving the energy back and forth. You know, direct current, like a river flowing down across the land or whatever, flowing downhill or downstream. It's all going in one direction. But if you zigzag that doggone thing back and forth to the other direction, you'll get a reaction. Like, more than likely, the water will end up eroding and busting through your dam. But you could zigzag that thing down and cause that to slosh back and forth. And now you got basically the equivalence of AC current. It's back and forth like that. It's changing directions or whatever. But it just drives me nuts. Inside of an inverter, you also have rectifiers. So you're using two different technologies in one box. On one hand, you're changing AC to DC, and on the other hand, you're changing DC to AC, back and forth. And in just about every single device you've got out there, even if it plugs into AC, chances are it has a rectifier in there that changes that AC. First, it drops the voltage down and then changes it to a DC current to run the actual circuit board that you need to run your computer or anything. So it's combined technologies in both that uses AC when it's convenient and uses DC when it's convenient, when it's necessary, either way. But 90% of all the devices we run out here could run on multitudes times less energy than the standard model. And, of course, you're going to need 120 volts AC at whatever current rating to run that transformer that is then in turn going to step that voltage down, that is in turn going to be stepped down again. And if you've got too much current going through those transistors or MOSFETs, they get hot. And so in order to have to compensate for that heat that is going to cause that MOSFET or transistor to reach a thermal breakdown, including the processors inside, which basically work like switches as well, well, now you got to use some of the energy to take the doggone heat away from it with a heat sink and a fan, And so they're designed inefficient. That's why I had to turn the tornado on in the background, which I'll probably turn back on again, because just these computers and monitors that I'm running right now are actually producing enough waste energy to help the heat outside heat this room up to where I'm sweating. But done with a little bit of common sense and re-engineering on where all this heat is actually transferred to, it's no longer a loss if you're utilizing that heat. Like, for example, when it was still cold outside, I didn't have to run the AC because I needed that heat from these computers to keep me warm in here so that I didn't have to run a space heater while I'm doing my radio show. So during the wintertime, that heat's beneficial. But during the summertime, it's counterproductive. This is what I've been saying all along, and if you understand what I've been trying to point out, there's so much room for efficiency, and we have all the solutions in order to do it. If I had the right team of people that'd be willing to travel and come hang out with me for a bit, we could together build a self-contained, what would you call a tiny house, that would maximize the efficiency of every bit of energy put into that system. And that the building itself would be the equivalence of a, what you call it, a thermos. You put cool water in a thermos, and that water will stay cool because it's insulated from the temperature outside. You put hot liquids in there, same thing. And so, by taking all of what we've gathered, through all the knowledge that we've gathered, we could build a perfectly efficient, smaller scale within our budget, and show that video and teach everybody how it is truly possible. I know the mainstream already knows it. You think that they don't make doggone triple pane and more windows that are helping your efficiency? Of course they do, and it costs you a lot of money to have them installed. But if you put super efficient windows in and you got poor insulation, you might raise your efficiency up a hair because you solved one problem, but you haven't went to the maximum. You could re-insulate that, from the inside or the outside, and improve that efficiency yet even more. You get the building down to the point where it's acting like a thermos, your energy usage would be ridiculously low. So if from start to finish they actually built these houses in your apartments or motor homes or mobile homes the way they could have built them, we wouldn't have to have this conversation, because when you did have to pay electric bill, it'd be so ridiculously cheap because you didn't have to have the heater on 24/7 in order to stay warm when it was colder than heck outside. Vice versa. So using everything that we've learned from all the different types of alternative energy sources, which we barely scratched the surface of, and understanding how electricity and energy actually travels, and how to store it, and how to use it more efficiently, there ain't no reason for anyone to be killing free energy, outside of the fact that they don't want to solve the problem. And greed is what actually keeps a system, the same system that they propose to complain about, in power. You keep the governments in power because you comply with everything they say. You go to war for them. You pay your taxes like a good citizen. You do all the things that's required of you. And then you're turned around and being punished with higher energy prices because somebody who said that this is going to hurt the environment didn't understand science enough to know the truth. And politicians don't care. If it gets them elected and keeps them in power, they don't care whether it's true or not. If they can use it to scare you into thinking anything that will get you motivated to further their agenda, they'll do it in a heartbeat without any kind of remorse whatsoever. So the true power is in the hands of the people. And until the people come to that, basically recognize that fact, then this isn't going to happen. I can put all the devices that I want out there on YouTube. I can post them here, but it's not going to matter if you don't take them and run with them. I don't even care if I put an original idea out there. If you take that idea and you steal it and you run off and you claim it to be your own and you patent it and you make $1 billion, I don't care. As long as that gets out there into the public as proven technology, then I've done what I came here to do. It's as simple as that. And so, take the ideas. Run with them. Take my podcast and go out there and put it on your own website. Run ads on there. Make yourself some money. Use that money to reinvest in a better world. You know? Put my name on a t-shirt. Put my logo and everything on a t-shirt. Go out there and sell it. Ain't nothing copyrighted around here. I'm not in this to get rich. I'm not in it to get famous. You know, if you want to help out and you'd like a project that we're doing and you want to look hard enough, you can find ways to help out here on Shaziz Radio, but I'm not begging anybody to help me out. I'm not sitting here asking everybody for money. I'm sitting here trying to give you everything, every bit of information that I found and other people had shared. I'm trying to compile it into one nifty platform where we can come together and talk about it to see what can be done. I'm trying to bring the people together to where their true power really lies. And the true power is when we're united as far as our minds and our resources. If I got a dollar in my pocket and you got a dollar in your pocket and we both agree that we spend this $2 and we can make some more money to do something, then that's what it's all about. So if you want to support Shaziz Radio and its mission, you look around, you'll find ways to do it. But I'm not throwing it out there in your face. You know what? I've afforded to do what I've done so far, and I've held these computers together with duct tape and baling wire, and those who have helped me out, it's well appreciated for what they did, and it moved it along further. And I'm going to continue to share everything I can. You know, I've got devices that I'm working on right now. I actually got to build equipment in order to make parts that if I had somebody out there who already had the equipment that could make the part for me, it'd already be done. Something simple as a coin, you know, as a deal to get people to come to this website, I'm working on building a coin. And I'm also working on building a recyclable coin that will show people the value of what that otherwise would have been known as trash. So I'm doing everything I can possibly do to try to show the world there is a better way. I'm just one man. And if I spark some interest out there and people want to jump on board and help me do things, we'll work it together and we'll succeed together. We'll succeed or we'll fail together. That's as simple as that. But we're up against a lot of craziness. There's a lot of people out there discouraging what we're doing here. Google discourages it. The government discourages it. YouTube discourages it. Some of the average Joes and the trolls and the agitators discourage it. Environmentalists discourage it. People who believe themselves to be educated but are quite literally indoctrinated by colleges and high schools and grade schools. You got a government education and you're coming out here telling people who think outside the box how stupid they are and you don't have anything to show for it. I got over 280 some odd videos on my YouTube, so I've been busy. I've got several hundred podcasts. I've been busy. I got videos and prototypes of different types of generators to show people how to use electricity differently. I've showed all kinds of anomalies, things that are pieces of the puzzle that if you put them together, like in the Free Thinkers video, and the way that, you know, industry figures out that you can use this part with that part, and now you've got this awesome machine over here that is multifunctional. So everything that I've done for a reason. Because I didn't want to be like Stan Myers and lose my life early because I put all my cards on the table. If I put all my cards on the table, that's when the game is over. It's either you grab it and run or somebody else is going to grab it and run. And it depends on who ends up with the information is determining on who has the power over that information and whether or not it gets shared freely with the world. But if the information is in your minds and in your head, whether it be bits and pieces, and you bring your bits and pieces together with my bits and pieces, we make the puzzle and we share with the world that information, and so that people in lesser fortunate nations can enjoy that as well. They can enjoy the benefits of that technology now. There are companies that don't want certain portions of certain nations to be energy independent. They don't want them to be industrial. They want that control. They still want that control with you. While you're paying your electric bill, which is way, way, way more than it should have ever been, especially if you live in Australia, you think about what I've been saying to you. And you think about who and why. Who's killing free energy? Why is it so hard to get proven science onto the table of what was supposedly mainstream science? Mainstream science has dropped the ball, so mad science had to jump in there and try to save the world. And mad science is because the mainstream science did drop the ball. Mad science is because you got to get mad. These folks are claiming that the world is doomed. And what have they done? They took more money from you. They added more regulations. They started fights between people with common sense and those with lack thereof. They're out protesting in the streets with ball bats and bricks and pepper spray, doing property damage, calling people racist, xenophobe, homophobe, and every other phobe that they can possibly, everything hateful that they can do, and they call themselves liberal, and they call themselves social justice warriors, and all they're doing is destroying society and ignoring the true science while promoting the lie that was put down there as propaganda from the same government that they claim to want to fight against. The hypocrisy of it is that the social justice warriors are destroying the world. The social justice warriors are killing the alternative energy researchers. The social justice warriors are killing free energy. The doggone environmentalists are doing the same. The governments, the corporations, and in most cases, the average Joe are all involved in killing free energy. Now, if you research this subject, you've seen a lot of fraudsters out there. And you've seen a lot of good ones. And you've seen a lot of anomalies, whether they be ones that didn't quite work exactly the way that the person had planned. It didn't constantly stay running like perpetual motion, but it did create efficiency levels higher than the standard model. You should have took that nugget and learned from it. You could have found the weakness in that device, and you could have fixed that by adding a supplementary system such as solar or wind or thermal or hydro. And when you want to use the best fuel on the planet, or on the flat plane, or whichever one you decide it is, then we'll get together and we'll engineer that, and we'll make it so. This knowledge is just out there. You, like my friend Simply Steve said, we are sitting here with the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips, and we're squandering it. These are brilliant times that we should be right now coming together with all this knowledge and access to the research capabilities that we have right now with People for People Radio Network, Shaziz Radio Network, all the affiliated ones, and anyone who lacks the information enough to rebroadcast or repodcast or send the information links down along the line. And if more people would come here and get themselves involved in these chat rooms, if they could get over that wall that Google put for us and come here, they would see that we're not what they said. They would see that we're actually doing what we say we're going to do. I'm going to prove once and for all, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that energy's free. You mark my words on that. It's going to happen. I believe I've already done more than that. But I'm not going to stop until I have it situated to where it is completely 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt, irrefutable by any debunkers, by any trolls, by any governments, by any corporation or so-called mainstream scientist, by any pseudoscientist, by any indoctrinated college geek. Any of those individuals out there who have been a hindrance to what I'm trying to share with the world, they're not going to have a snowball's chance in Hades in order to be able to do anything to stop that message from reaching the people when I'm done. You can take that one to the bank, because this has become way more than personal. I spent a lifetime studying everything that there is to know about, everything I could possibly get my brain on. And to have people try to tell me how stupid I am because I'm not using their version of what they believe terminology or mathematics or whatever should be, that they can just haphazardly pass me off as a crackpot. Well, stand back and watch as Shaziz Mad Science rocks the world with information and truth. I tell you that for a fact. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Stick around for the Music with Kara Hour. Really good stuff. Take care, folks. Pass this podcast around.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Thank you.
crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.